High FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we continue with more amazing things on the show, on the DL Link show. You know, the 12th of October was World Hospice and Palliative Care Day. And the 1st of December is World AIDS Day. And it's important to talk about palliative care and what it is. And there is an association of palliative care centers. Lawrence Mandikiana, who is the advocacy manager, is on the show today to talk more about that. So Lawrence, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nikki, and thank you to all the listeners.
So the APCC, the Association of Palliative Care Centers, could you tell us, you know, what is your role on the in South Africa in terms of this palliative care space?
Well, thank you. So APCC, it's actually a network of organizations which used to be known as hospices. And then we also have frail care facilities, so around the country in all 9 provinces. So all in all, we have on average 91 hospices, which actually form, or should I say, they report to the Association of Palliative Care Centers. So basically what we do as APCC, we are there to advocate for palliative care and making sure that palliative care is accessible to everyone, irregardless of where you stay, also your socioeconomic status.
Wow. Okay. So what is, if you can just explain what and clarify what palliative care is?
So I love the definition, which the revised definition of the World Health Organization, which defines palliative care as an approach which seeks to improve the quality of life of patients. So these patients could either be adults or children, and then their families. So it extends to families. And then those who are actually diagnosed or facing life-limiting or life-threatening illnesses. So I love the previous conversation which we were having. So I think those are some of the diseases which are actually part of palliative care. And then what we do in palliative care, we seek to prevent and relieve suffering through an early identification and then also correct assessment and treatment. And then palliative care starts at the point of diagnosis. So as you are diagnosed, we make sure that you receive the conundrum of care, which includes the physical, which is your body, and your physiology, and then we also look into the social, which means you yourself in relation to your environment and your families. If there are social problems, you have to at least have access to a social worker. And then we also look into the psychological aspects, where we also look into the aspects of depression, anxiety, all those things. You can also be referred to a psychologist. And the last thing is spirituality. I think in health, sometimes we overlook the importance of spirituality.
Yeah, absolutely. So this Association of Palliative Care Centers, what falls into that is hospice. Are they still known as hospice, or are they now known as the Association of Palliative Care?
So they are known as associations of associate members. So why should I say associate members? Because people usually, they still had the connotation of hospice, which is alluded to things when someone is about to die or when there is nothing which you can do. But apparently, because of the new revised definition of palliative care, to say it starts at diagnosis, which means someone who is in stage one of their illness, for example, someone who is still up and down, who is 100%. And out, you know, up and down in the community, we regard that person as stage one. They're still able-bodied. And then stage four is someone who spends more than 50% of their time in bed. And then so in that case, irregardless of the stage of the diagnosis, we commence services.
So Lawrence, this is a really important point, and thank you for clarifying. So if we had to take our guests from the earlier guests, and we had to take Amanda, for example, who now 14 years later, she's in remission, the transplant was successful, but perhaps when she was first diagnosed, she was experiencing, as she said, the pain in her shoulder, so there was pain, there were things. Would she then come to you guys for the palliative care? Would she then be able to approach the APCC and say, I have this diagnosis and I have pain, and yeah.
Yes, definitely. You know, there is a special touch with palliative care, which is different to any other medical field, because palliative care, it allows, it doesn't segregate, it doesn't allow people to feel as if you are there to be judged in any way. So, and the people they spend most of their time with the patient. So it's a field of medicine which actually allows clinicians to see, even if it is two patients in the whole day, that's allowed, which I think it's unique and it's different to other fields of medicine. And then it's also of paramount importance because you don't just face the medical aspects, but also you allow other spheres of your life, which means your significant others. So, for example, herself, she had to at least rely on her sister, and the sister also had to go counseling, also had to go, you know, through emotional support and counseling. So all those things, they also form part of palliative care. Even if they are spiritual, there was also need to engage a chaplain or whichever religion they come from. So I think it was of paramount importance. We could accept, yes.
Thank you, Lawrence. We're going to take a break, and then I want to push this point a little bit further so our listeners have a really clear understanding of palliative care and when that you can start to access that palliative care in terms of the diagnosis. So a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show. I have Lawrence Mandikiana, who is the Advocacy Manager for the Association of Palliative Care Centres, APCC. Now, it was the World Hospice and Palliative Care Day on the 12th of October last month, but it's an important demand and a need. And this organization works on a daily basis, assisting many who are suffering from cancer, as well as other additional chronic illnesses. Lawrence, just before the break, you know, I asked the question if Amanda would be able to have access to the APCC. As you said, with the definition, the new definition, the World Health Organization definition, and the idea that you only go for palliative care if you are close to, you know, if you have a terminal illness or a life threatening illness, then you would have access to it. But, you know, in Amanda's case, she's fine and she's in remission. So it's changing the mindset and saying that at whatever point of your diagnosis, right at the beginning, rather step in, as you say, have all of the support, have the support in terms of the pain, have the support in terms of the physical, emotional, spiritual pain. It is there for everyone to access.
Yes, certainly. You know, I think one of the things which is of paramount importance when someone is in remission, they are our members. They also have things which are actually programs which are actually aligned to such scenarios. Maybe it could be support groups. It could be virtual. They could be done virtually, or it could be face-to-face. It could be engagement, touch-based sessions which you do with psychologists or social workers and chaplains, depending on your schedule. So I think that itself, it keeps you in shape in terms of your health, and you are overboard in terms of how to manage your health.
Mm. How accessible is palliative care for the average South African?
I think palliative care for now, it's something which is beginning to be accessible. But however, I think geographical disparities are still a major challenge. You know, you'd find rural provinces like Mpumalanga, Northwest, they're still struggling with access to palliative care. Why do I say so? Because palliative care, it's a field which one can only access such services when healthcare workers are fully trained in palliative care. You could be a medical doctor, a nurse, or any clinician. But if you do not have access to the basic in-service training, which means a training which actually capacitates you to know that there is need to refer a client who is presenting certain symptoms for spiritual care or for psychological or social care. So the moment we have such, it makes it very much accessible. But however, it's much accessible. Let's say in Gauteng, you have those tertiary hospitals like Bara and Helen Joseph, which means they are very accessible in those hospitals. But however, in certain hospitals in peripheral provinces, it's still a challenge. And there's also still a stigma around palliative care. So when someone is saying they have a relative who have been referred for palliative care, they already think that they are going to die. But however, a patient can be in remission and a patient can also still live longer. And so that itself, that stigma still has to be looked into. Thank you.
So you also help people with chronic illnesses. It doesn't have to be a cancer or a life-threatening illness?
Yes, we do, yes.
So for example, on the 1st of December is World AIDS Day. And if you look at palliative care and how it could play a critical role in treating HIV/AIDS sufferers, they would be able to have access with that diagnosis to the South African palliative care space.
Yes. So I think it's important to know that there is need for palliative care to actually, you know, go into chronic illnesses like your HIV and AIDS. Why I say so? Because there are those with end-life disease symptoms, for example, or aggressive disease symptoms, which I believe those clients, they would also benefit more from palliative care. And then it could be the discrimination which comes with it. The psychosocial elements of the field in palliative care could also cater for that in supporting those patients.
Yeah, and it's not just the patients. Of course, you've got families who...
Yes.
Who are involved, and I know with the experience that I had with the hospice here in Houghton and interacting with them and chatting before, that you know, sometimes, and I could be wrong, and please do correct me if I am wrong, that, you know, families are obviously taken into consideration, and sometimes a patient will just go into the hospice facility just so that for a while they can be looked after and the family members can have a break, so to speak.
Yes. So one of the, should I say, the uniqueness of palliative care, it's respite care, which you have just mentioned now, because sometimes families, we undermine how caregivers, sometimes they're overburdened with a disease progression within the family. It's taxing for everyone. Say, maybe you want to go shopping, but you are thinking, who's going to remain behind with our loved one? Or you would want to do something for yourself and treat yourself for, maybe for a further care. But however, there's no one to look after the loved one. So palliative care, it's that field which manages to making sure that there is holistic care for those who are the primary caregivers to extending to the patient itself.
Yeah, so there must be costs involved. Would people have to pay for the South African palliative care services? I'm sure that there's some people who possibly could afford it, and there are many who cannot afford it. So is there a payment expected? And if not, how is it that you stay, continue to do what you're doing?
Yes, so I think the community really comes in handy in this discussion, because looking into palliative care, it's quite a very expensive mode of care to our patients, because you want someone to be looked after holistically. But how we do is we don't discriminate as hospices, and also all the associate members, we do not discriminate. So anyone who comes in our doors, we make sure that we actually render in the required care as per patient's request. So how we care for those patients is those with medical aid, yes, they can still claim from their medical aid, and it's much appreciated. And those state patients who do not have resources to actually pay for those services, we are running thrifty shops. So thrifty shops, it's more of families who are saying, you members or hospices, you're doing a good job in our communities. I've got a couch, I've got a TV, I've got a laptop, which I'm not using, but it's in good condition. And then you just donate it to our thrifty shops. And then those gadgets and devices are sold to the communities at very affordable prices, and that money is actually, branched back into patient care. So everyone is not discriminated, but however, what we do is we make sure healthcare is accessible to everyone.
Great. So let's look at these thrift shops. Let's look at, I'm sure there are people who are listening right now. You know, in so many countries in the world, Lawrence, it's difficult to get rid of secondhand things. And isn't it amazing that here, if you've got secondhand things that are still in good order, they can be used to raise funds so that you guys can do the fabulous work that you're doing. So how do people do it? If they've got something and they want to donate it, do they drop it off? Do you come and collect it? How does it work?
So it works in both ends. So to those ones who do not have transport, say for example you have a bigger bed or you do not have a baki which can actually, you can use to transport your gadgets and your devices to hospices, we can literally make sure that we send in, a driver who can fetch those, commodities. But however, how we do it is you can visit the APCC website. It's www.apcc.co.za. So on that website, you will see all our members from Limpopo to Cape Town. And then in all 9 provinces, we have footprints everywhere. And then you can just look into your nearest hospices. If you are in Gauteng, you can just see that there is Stepping Stone, for example, it's in Alberton, and then their address, and then you can just give them a call. But however, in the event that you cannot locate a nearest hospice to you, just send us an email. Our contact details, they're actually there on the APCC website.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Lawrence. And very quickly, before we say goodbye, if there's anything you want to share with us before we say goodbye, are there other ways the public can get involved or that you want them to know? You've got a minute.
Oh, thank you. So people can volunteer. So coming on the 3rd of December, it's a World Volunteers Day. So please, hospices and charity shops, they're looking for people who can come in and just, use their time in supporting healthcare. Also, your donations to charity shops, it's also much appreciated. And then advocacy, let's advocate for palliative care and awareness in our churches, wherever we are. And then partnering, let's always make sure that any engagement we have, and we educate people on palliative care.
Lawrence, thank you so much. You were amazing. We really enjoyed having you on the show, and onwards and upwards, and hopefully lots of responses and people helping and continuing to assist people and their families in profound ways during times that are pretty challenging. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki, and thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Lawrence Mandikiani, the Advocacy Manager for the Association of Palliative Care Centres. Isn't it great when you get to listen and you have opportunities to help, to be of assistance, and to know that there's so many people who do it, and that one day you may be the recipient of people's kindness and expertise and knowledge. It's just, that's what it is to be human. Always good to focus on the wonderful, amazing aspects of the human being and how we're all here for one another. It's very easy to just look and see what's going on in the world and feel quite discouraged. But this show and the people who come onto the show always encourage me, make me fall in love once again with the human race. I hope you feel the same way, or maybe just a small percentage of it. But I do thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to be in your company. For me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, you take care and goodbye.